Title: Pad Counter Melodies for Modern Control with Vintage Tone Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the most underrated power moves in modern drum and bass, pad counter melodies. Because in 2026 DNB, pads aren't just background atmosphere. A great pad part is compositional glue. It's the thing that makes a drop feel emotional without stepping on your bass hook, and it fills that mid-range gap, where a lot of DNB can feel weirdly empty between the subs and the cymbals. Today you're going to build a vintage toned pad that still behaves like a modern record. Tight low end, control dynamics and movement that locks to the groove. We are doing it with Ableton stock devices, and we're treating the pad like an instrument with a job, not just to wash. Set your project to 172 to 176 BPM. I'll reference 174. Key example is F minor, but translate the ideas to whatever you're in. Step 0, set the context so the pad basically writes itself. Before you even touch sound design, get two things playing. 1. A drum bus that represents the final groove. Kick, snare, hats. The roll doesn't have to be perfect, but it needs to be stable. 2. A bass and sub concept. Even if it's placeholder, a res plus a sub, or whatever your track is going toward. Here's the reason. The pad counter melody must weave around drums and bass. If you design it in isolation, you'll accidentally put energy right where the bass wants to talk, and then you'll spend an hour EQing your feelings out of it. Now step 1. Choose your pad engine. You've got two great stock options: Waveatable for modern control with vintage layers, or Analog for instant old-school weight. Let's do Waveatable first, since it gives you precision. Create a MIDI track, drop in Waveatable. Oscillator 1. Basic shapes, aim sign or a triangle-ish. Smooth, not buzzy. Oscillator 2. Also basic shapes, but slightly brighter. Think a pulse leaning towards saw-ish, but not a straight-up super saw. Turn on unison, 2 to 4 voices. Keep the amount low, like 10 to 20%. Detune subtle, like 5 to 12%. You want width, not festival trance. Then filter. Pick LP24 for a bit more authority, or LP12 if you want it softer. Start cutoff somewhere between 600 Hz and 2K Hz. Don't stress the exact number, because you're going to automate it later. Add a little drive, like 2 to 6 dB. This is where the pad starts feeling like it has a body instead of just a clean digital smear. If you prefer analog instead, here's the quick setup. Osc 1 saw, Osc 2 triangle or a slightly detuned saw. Detune just a few cents, 2 to 7. Low pass 24 dB, resonance low. A tiny bit of noise if you want air. Tiny. It's easier to add air later than to remove hissy mess from a mix. Now step 2. Write a DNB appropriate pad counter melody. This is the advanced part. You're not writing a chord bed. You're writing a supporting voice that moves with intention. Here's a big coach note. Think two layers, function versus flavor. Function is the readable musical line, the rhythm and contour. Flavor is the spread, the modulation, the vintage. So, compose the counter melody like it's a mono instrument first. Then we'll turn it into a pad. Start with a chord anchor. Example in F minor. FM 9 to DB Maj 7 to EB 6/9 to C7 sus 4, or even C7 if you want more bite. Instead of holding full block chords, try this approach. In the lower part of the pad, hold something stable like root plus fifth, but we'll high pass it later anyway. The real identity comes from the moving top voice. Let's craft a top line over FM that feels liquid and rolling. Try notes like G to AB to C to BB. That's got that vocal contour and those sweet extensions. 90 Hz and 11-ish color depending on context. Rhythm-wise, think mostly 8th notes with an occasional 16th pickup. So you might go 8th, 8th, quarter, then an 8th that splits into 2 16ths at the end. That last little pickup is pure DNB energy. It feels like it's leaning into the next downbeat. Now make it truly counter by dodging the snare space. In DNB, the snare is law. Typically it's hitting on 2 and 4 in the bar, and often it's felt like that halftime punch. If your pad makes a big harmonic change exactly on the snare, you'll soften the crack, even if you don't hear it as clashing. So do this. Let your line rise into the snare, then dip right after it, and offset important note changes. Put them on the end of the beat, or even nudge them a little late, like 20 to 40 milliseconds. Yes, you can literally nudge notes, or use Groove Pool if you've got a groove template that matches your drums. The point is to make the pad feel like it's dancing behind the drums, not marching on top of them. And one more composition trick that's surprisingly effective even before processing. Place your setup note 1/16th before the snare, and your arrival note 1/16th after the snare. that creates call and response without any sidechain at all. It's just good phrasing. Now step 3. Vintage tone without losing modern control. We're going to build a chain that sounds nostalgic, but sits clean. First, EQ 8, high pass, 24 dB per octave, somewhere between 150 and 300 Hz. The exact number depends on how busy your bass is. In heavier Neuro-style basses with lots of 200 to 500 content, you may need to go higher. If the pad sounds boxy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 500 Hz, 1 to 2 dB, wide Q. And if the highs are fizzy, do a small shelf down above 10 kHz. Second, chorus ensemble. Set it to ensemble mode. Amount around 20 to 40%. Rate slow, 0.2 to 0.6 Hz. Width 120 to 160%, but keep an ear on mono. If you collapse to mono and the pad disappears, you went too far. Third, saturator. Soft sign or analog clip. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Soft clip on. If saturation starts getting spitty, you usually fix that by reducing high end before the saturator, not after. That's one of those pro sounding moves. Fourth, echo. Set it to tape mode. Time. 1/8 dotted or 1/4. Feedback. 10 to 25%. Wobble. 2 to 6. Subtle. Noise. 0.5% to 2%. Tiny. Filter the echo. High pass around 300 to 600 Hz. Low pass around 4 to 8 kHz. This is important. The delay is space, not a featured rhythmic delay like a lead. If you notice the repeats as repeats, it's probably too loud. Fifth, reverb or hybrid reverb. Hybrid reverb is perfect here. A small plate vibe plus an algorithmic tail. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. That keeps the reverb from stepping on the transient and the snare. Decay around 1.5 to 4 seconds depending on density. And high pass the reverb input, 400 to 800 Hz. Seriously. Pads plus DNB subs is the danger zone. Don't feed low mids into a long tail. Now step 4. Modern movement. This is where it becomes expensive. First, phrase breathing with auto filter. Put auto filter before reverb. Use LP12. Add a small envelope amount, like 5 to 15, so the filter opens a touch on note attack. This gives the pad articulation without turning it into a pluck. Add an LFO that's very slow, 0.05 to 0.15 Hz. And a tiny amount, 5 to 10. You want slow drift, not wobble. Then automate cutoff by section. Intro, darker. Cutoff around 600 to 1K. Drop, brighter, maybe 1.5 to 4K depending on your lead space. Post drop, tuck it back down. Now rhythmic shaping. Ghost pumping without killing sustain. Option 1 is classic compressor sidechain from the kick. Add compressor, enable sidechain. Choose kick. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 5 to 20 milliseconds so you don't completely flatten the front edge. Release 80 to 200 milliseconds so it breathes with the groove. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. You want movement, not pad disappears every kick. Option 2 is shaper, if you have it for cleaner modern ducking. Draw a curve that dips on the kick and recovers before the snare. This avoids overcompression artifacts and sounds super controlled. And don't forget, you can duck to the snare too. A second compressor key to the snare, faster release, just a touch. It can make your snare feel louder without actually turning it up. Then, end of chain stereo discipline with utility. Turn on bass mono, around 200 to 400 Hz. Set width 110 to 150% depending on how crowded the mix is. Quick teacher tip here, register zoning. A reliable pocket for the moving voice of the pad is often around C3 to C5, depending on key. If your bass is eating that 200 to 500 range, push the moving voice up an octave and let the lower harmony be implied, not stated. You'll be shocked how much cleaner the drop feels. Now step 5, arrangement. Where pads should actually play in DNB. Pads win when they support the story. In a 16-bar intro, let the pad set tonality and nostalgia. Keep it dark, filtered. In an 8-bar pre-drop, open the cutoff gradually and introduce the counter melody clearly. In drop A, keep it present but tucked, high pass, sidechain, less reverb and delay. In a midsection or break, let it bloom, widen, and bring back the tail. In drop B, keep the motif but evolve something, change voicing, invert chords, or mutate one small parameter. And a practical trick that works almost every time. In the drop, reduce MIDI density, 2 to 3 notes max. Consider voicings like 3rd plus 7th plus 9th. Or 3rd plus 6th plus 9th, more rests, less overlap. Hold down reverb and delay sends in the heaviest 8 bars. This is how you get the emotional pad and the drop without losing punch. Let's hit common mistakes fast, so you can avoid the pain. Mistake 1. Pads eating the sub. If your pad has meaningful energy below about 150 to 250, it will fight the bass. High pass boldly. Use a spectrum analyzer if you need to prove it to yourself. Mistake 2. Too much chorus equals instant cheap trance. Slow and subtle wins. If it sounds like a synth preset demo, back off. Mistake 3. Your counter melody is actually a lead. If it demands attention more than the bass hook, simplify rhythm, reduce brightness, or move it higher and quieter. Mistake 4. Reverb washing the snare. High pass your reverb and reduce reverb in drops. DNB needs snare authority. Mistake 5. No automation. At this level, a static pad is basically unfinished. Automate cutoff, width, saturation amount, and send levels by section. Now a few advanced variations you can use when you want the pad to feel intelligent. 1. Pedal tone plus shifting upper structure. Hold one constant tone, like the 9th or 5th, across multiple bars while chords change underneath. Then move one note every half bar. Controlled nostalgia. Very modern. 2. Upper extensions only. If the bass is already stating roots, you can write just 9, 11, 6 color tones and imply the harmony. It keeps the mid-range clean and sounds sophisticated. 3. Micromotif mutation. Every 8 bars, change exactly one thing. Same rhythm, different ending note. Or same notes, rhythm shifted by a 16th. That keeps identity while evolving. 4. Polyrhythmic illusion with velocity. Keep your MIDI in 8th notes, but accent every 3/8 for a bar or 2 to imply 3 over 4 tension, then return to straight accents for the drop. It's sneaky and it works. Sound design extras, quick but powerful. Make a controlled vintage macro rack after the synth. Macro 1. Age. Map it to chorus amount. A bit of echo wobble, and a tiny increase in saturator drive. Macro 2. Brightness. Map synth filter cutoff and a post-EQ shelf. Macro 3. Width safe. Map utility width plus a midside EQ where the sides get low cut. Macro 4. Tail. Map reverb wet or send level and decay. That gives you one-hand performance control for arrangement, which is basically how modern DNB gets that constantly evolving feel. Also, subtle pitch instability the musical way. Assign a very slow LFO to oscillator pitch, plus or minus 3 to 8 cents max. Different rates per oscillator so it doesn't sound like a predictable wobble cycle. And if the motif isn't reading on small speakers, do parallel mid-byte on a return. This audio version is shortened for playback.